I'd also like to acknowledge my co-authors on this presentation. It's a really tiny text, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to read it out. I don't know what happened. So that line says Adam Bourne, GJ Melendez Torres, Aaron Cogle, Graham Brown and Anthony Lyons, who I think might be in this room somewhere. And we are from the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University. I'd also like to thank people living with HIV who've contributed to the HIV Futures study over the years. So this is reporting data from HIV Futures 8, but I did just work out that over the 22 years of HIV Futures, it represents about 8,000 volunteer hours from people living with HIV to participate in that survey. It's not inconsequential, and it's very much appreciated. We just wouldn't have a study without that. So thank you. Thank you also to our community partners, who are too numerous to mention, but you're all in there. Thanks. Great. Okay. So really, just to give a very brief background, I find the criminalisation laws in this country a little perplexing. I'm sure I'm not alone there, but as far as I understand it, there's no legal requirement these days in any state or territory to disclose HIV status prior to sex, provided an individual takes reasonable precautions to prevent HIV transmission. What reasonable precautions means hasn't really been tested and could be a bit of a grey area. So, for example, what reasonable precautions means in the context of U equals U and someone's belief that they are undetectable hasn't been tested in the courts. It's also possible that failure to disclose HIV could be considered relevant in criminal proceedings related to transmission of HIV, which would come under something like grievous bodily harm as the conviction or the charge. That's the background. I'm not going to go into detail about the laws. Paul kids over there, if you have questions. What we do know is that criminalisation of transmission or disclosure of HIV doesn't have an impact on public health. So there's no evidence to show that criminalising HIV in any form contributes to a reduction in HIV transmission. What we know less about is the impact that criminalisation of HIV has on people living with HIV. So I think it's reasonable to assume that it contributes to stigma. I think we all know that. But then what's the impact, the sort of ongoing impact of that stigma? So that's really what we wanted to do with this piece of analysis from HIV Futures 8. Our aim was to determine whether or not criminalisation of HIV transmission or non-disclosure has a negative impact on wellbeing. So just to go very quickly through methods, HIV Futures, it's a cross-sectional survey of people living with HIV. We run it every 2 or 3 years and have done since 1997 at La Trobe. The studies sort of advertise broadly through our networks, thank you, community partners. And this particular data set was collected between 2015 and 2016, which is important because there has been a bit of progress on laws since that time. So it's kind of contextual in some ways. So within the HIV Futures survey, there's a really, it's long, there's lots of questions. So for this particular analysis, these are the ones we included. So a range of demographic measures. We looked at things like resilience and perceived stigma, which is the Berger Stigma Scale, quite a long questionnaire looking at experiences of discrimination and a sense of perceived stigma, and then emotional well-being and also social support. But the questions on the right are the ones that we put into this questionnaire about law and disclosure. So there's 6 questions really relating to knowledge about current laws, whether people worry about these laws and the impact it has on their decisions and behaviours. They're probably not the questions we'd put in now. They were written in 2014, and the laws, maybe we have more information and the laws have changed a bit since then, but at the time, this is where we were at. We also didn't design these questions thinking that we would look at the impact on wellbeing. So they were designed to look at the impact on public health. So there's a slightly different nuance, but when we got the data, we looked at it and thought, oh, maybe we should actually explore that a bit more. So we've done the best we can with questions that maybe aren't perfect, I guess. But really, it's really tiny text again, I'm really sorry, I'll read it out. So the 6 questions relating to laws and disclosure One, I understand current laws in my state and territory regarding disclosure of my HIV status to sexual partners. And then we had a kind of agree to disagree 5-point scale for people to respond to that. Number two was I'm worried about disclosing my HIV status. That might be better. How's that? Yep. Worried about disclosing my HIV status to sexual partners because of current laws. I'm worried about disclosing my sexual practices to service providers because of current laws. Laws making it a criminal offence to knowingly expose a person to HIV would make me less likely to disclose my HIV status. Laws making it a criminal offence to knowingly expose a person to HIV would make me more likely to use a condom. And six, I do not access services because I fear I might be at risk of incriminating myself because of my sexual practices or drug use. Sorry, I've given away the answers there, so just forget you saw that. What we did a descriptive analysis of people's responses to those six questions, and we did a factor analysis for those who are not statisticians in the room. Basically, it's seeing how well those questions sat together so that we could get really a score of how anxious people are about these laws or how worried people are about these laws that incorporates several of these questions. Ask a statistician if you want more info or ask me afterwards. Once we had that score, we compared the differences in scores according to a range of demographic factors. So what we found... So really what we did find was that most people told us that they understand the laws in their jurisdiction, so around 80% said they did. Of the other 10%, it was a combination of no, I don't, or I don't know, which probably amounts to a similar thing. One in three said that they worry about disclosure to sexual partners because of the laws. One in four said that they worry about disclosure to service providers because of the laws. And I think there were sort of mixed results when it came to public health. So we had about 40% of people who said they were less likely to disclose their HIV status to a potential sexual partner. And then over 50% who said they were more likely to use a condom. Again, time sensitive. I think PrEP's come a long way since we asked this question, so it might look different now if we asked it again. In terms of that factor analysis, which is really making our scale of worry about HIV criminalisation, can you read that text? Yeah. So basically the way it worked out was that these four questions sat together really well to make a little scale. If anyone is a stats person, a 0.75 alpha is a really good alpha. It means it's a really strong scale. So we could create this score, essentially, in which that sort of ranged from low anxiety to higher anxiety related to these four questions. Does that make sense? We're all over that. So these are the four that became part of that little anxiety about HIV criminalisation scale. So when we looked at the scores from that scale in relation to well-being, so questions about well-being and so forth, we found that higher levels of anxiety about criminalisation associated with current laws was associated with poorer well-being, so poorer emotional well-being, lower reported levels of resilience, lower levels of social support, and a greater perceived or experienced HIV-related stigma. We also found, when we looked at demographic variations, higher levels of anxiety related to criminalisation were reported by men compared to women, non-heterosexual people, which included higher anxiety about criminalisation was reported by bisexual men, heterosexual men, and then people who use other terms, so queer, predominantly in that group. We also found people who did not speak English as a first language reported higher levels of anxiety about criminalisation. We used that as a bit of a catch-all proxy, if you like, for people from culturally and linguistically diverse communities. There's a whole other conversation about that, but that item, or that question about English as a first language was the most... we sort of had the most grasp on that community, although that range of communities, if that makes sense. And we also found that people who'd experienced recent financial stress reported higher levels of anxiety about criminalisation. So what all that means... I think with this sort of data, there's always a bit of a chicken and egg kind of relationship. So it is possible that people who had other things going on in their lives or a higher level of existing anxiety or poorer social well-being were more sensitive to laws about criminalisation, and we can't disentangle that in these data. But I do think the findings suggest that laws relating to criminalisation do impact potentially on well-being among people living with HIV, and that it's the fact that we saw higher reported levels in non-heterosexual people and people from culturally and linguistically diverse communities, or people who didn't speak English as their first language, suggests that these anxieties are probably exacerbated by people who face other forms of discrimination. And I think that just makes sense. Who's going to be targeted most by criminalisation laws? It's people who are already targeted for other reasons, or who are already vulnerable and marginalised for other reasons. So really, I think our conclusion is, in some ways, given the lack of evidence demonstrating public health benefits from HIV criminalisation, particularly in the context of U equals U and PrEP, there's probably little justification for any criminalisation of HIV to be in place, because apart from anything else, it detracts from wellbeing, which ultimately detracts from the broader 1990 goals of reducing HIV transmission and caring for people living with HIV. Thanks.